Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, where the big winter sale is now on. Get 30% of all the official Donegal GAA Peak range. Also, great savings on runners and leisure wear, in store and online.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be talking Galway International Rally with Killian Duffy of On The Pace Notes. Alec MacDonald has a preview of the Six Nations action as Ireland go to France in Marseille tomorrow night to start the competition. And we go to Cavan with Dermot McCabe ahead of Sunday's clash with Donegal in the Allianz National Football League. But it's with soccer we begin. And without doubt, locally in football, the big game of the weekend is the first round second leg tie of Donegal and Inishowen in the Oscar Traynor Interleague Trophy. The tie is well poised for Donegal, who probably are favourites now going into the second leg because they have a slender 3-2 advantage. Remember, Paul Yankboyle scored the winning goal right at the death to give Donegal the victory. They have a 3-2 advantage now going to leg two, which is the home leg for Donegal. And the game's taking place at the Diamond Park in Ballyar on Sunday. And the kickoff time is at 1 o'clock. So let's hear from the managers from both sides coming up shortly. We'll be hearing from John Francis Dugan, manager of Donegal. But first up, Chris Ashmore this week has been speaking with the Inishowen manager, Dermot O'Brien.
Dermot O'Brien, manager of the Inishowen League Oscar Traynor side. The second leg awaits at Ballyar on Sunday. And you go into it, Dermot, a goal down, but in many respects, we're only at half-time in this encounter. An awful lot to play for in what is a really prestigious competition.
Yeah, that's right, Chris. Donegal had a good 3-2-1 and we got there on the 10th of January. So we're looking forward now to the return leg in Ballyar on Sunday.
And this is a competition that both leagues have won in the past. And you could say that this is a battle of two of the heavyweights of junior soccer. The pity is only one can go through to the next round.
Yeah, well, it's sort of restructured by the FAI this year, Chris. It was organised on a provincial basis. So you had the four provinces, and unfortunately there's only two teams in our area, so it was left with a two-legged playoff. But there's been a very good entry over the country. There's, I think it's 24 teams in total throughout the country, so that's up on the pre-COVID times. And three teams go to the quarterfinals from the Leinster, and then two each from Munster and Connacht. And obviously the winners from the Ulster region go through the quarterfinals. And I suppose there's an extra carrot for both Donegal and ourselves, and that we have a home draw in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, looking at the first game, it really could have gone either way. Donegal League got a late winner, but very little between the two sides.
Yeah, it's a strange sort of game, Chris. I thought we started very well and a couple of good chances in the first 7 or 8 minutes, and then Donegal come into it, and they had equally a couple of good chances in the next 7 or 8 minutes, and probably from our point of view, we were disappointed with the goals we conceded. We were caught on the break for the first and the second goal. But we showed good character to come back into the game. We got back to 2-2. And then from our perspective, disappointing to concede a goal in the last minute from the only corner Donegal had in the game.
Yeah. So since that game, Dermot, what have you done in terms of much training of the lads together?
Yeah, we got the lads in a couple of times. We're like most of the boys are fit enough and they have a heavy schedule with their clubs, so it's important that you don't overload them as well. So we're looking forward to getting out to the match on Sunday.
Well, when you look at your squad, once again, it just shows the strength of Inishowen soccer at the moment because you've great competition for players there, and that is an important aspect of things. You do have strength and depth.
Yeah, we're happy with the squad we have. You know, there was a couple of players that were approached and opted out at the start for various reasons, and I respect that. No, I don't have an issue with players opting out at the start. And we're getting good commitment from all the players that are there, Chris. But, like, you know, sometimes you just have to perform on the night or on the day, and that's what judges how good a squad you have or what strength and depth you have.
Now, the fact that the Donegal League hold a 3-2 advantage going into this second game, do you think that's going to influence the way either they play or you play? Because obviously you have to push it a little bit at some stage.
Yeah, well, again, I can't speak for what Donegal will do, but from our perspective, I think it's important that we stay in the game for as long as possible. I don't think we can afford to go a goal down in this encounter. And while it's still 3-2 in aggregate scores, you know, you're in the contest right up to the last minute. We'd be hoping to try and peg that deficit back and build on that from there. But I think it'll be a cagey enough affair, and it'll be as competitive as it was in the beginning 3 weeks ago.
And is there any of your panel who were in the Inishowen League side that won it back in, what was it, 2016?
Yeah, we have a couple of players still there, all right, in the squad. We have the likes of John Jared McLaughlin from Lingard and Terence Doherty, Brendan McLaughlin from Kildare. You know, those three are still there. Johnny Noonan has been around for a long time, goalkeeper. And Kieran McDade, of course, from McCranagh Hearts. And then, like, I mean, we have a number of players in that were playing intermediate up to last year with Cock Hull that are back in the squad. We will be short a couple. Luke Rudden picked up an unfortunate second card in the first game, so second yellow card, so he's out of the equation. And Lee McCulligan has picked up an injury in the club game, and Lee will be on the sidelines for a number of weeks. So, but that gives other players in the squad an opportunity to stick their claim.
Ultimately, you know, you're in it to win it, and if you can get over this hurdle, well, who knows what might lie in store.
Oh, that's it. We're not looking any further than Sunday, Chris, because, you know, that's the most important game for us for this year and the Oscar Trainer. If we don't get the right result, it doesn't really matter for the rest of the year as regards Oscar Trainer. Mm-hmm. So we're going with the mindset of that we're capable of turning it around, and hopefully we can do it on the day.
The competition's going, I believe, since 1963. It's probably had its ups and downs over the years, but let's face it, this is the cream of junior soccer, and it's a competition that deserves huge respect.
Yeah, I've always been of the opinion that, you know, to represent your league is a great honour, and our league has always taken the competition seriously. As you've rightly said, there has been ups and downs, you know, over the years with the competition. It has been rejuvenated this year. I know the FAI have purchased a new cup for the competition, and they're working behind the scenes to try and secure maybe sponsorship to enhance the competition next year. But for the players and for the leagues and even supporters, it is a prestigious competition, and it gives you an opportunity to showcase your league's talents on the national stage.
And finally, Dermot, whoever goes through, be it the Donegal League or the Inishowen League, they won't have any fear about any opposition in the latter stages.
No, I don't think they should have any fear either. Chris, there's plenty of talent in both squads. And as I said earlier, you know, the winner or the prize for the winners is a home tie against the third place finishing team in Leinster. You know, so on home territory, either Donegal or Inishowen, whoever goes through, would have to fancy their chances of getting to the semi-final.
John Francis Dugan, manager of the Donegal League Oscar Trainer side, getting ready now for the second leg of your clash with the Inishowen League, and you have that advantage from the first leg. You're at home in the second leg. On paper, that makes you favourites, but we're only at half time.
Oh, we are. You know, it's the old cliche, only half time, and it is, to be fair. Like, I mean, there was nothing between the sides really last night. We were just lucky we got that break in the last minute to score from the corner and go 3-2 up. Again, they could easily come here. They could score in the first minute and we're back all square. So, like, it's two quality teams that are going at it, and on the day, either team could take care of the other. So we'll not get ahead of ourselves at all. There's nothing won. We're seeing Sunday now as just a one-off match, that the business has to be done again, and the game up on McGinn Park is in the past. It's good to have the wee bit of, you know, safety net of being ahead, but still, like, you can live yourself in a precarious position if you go into the game thinking, oh, we just need to sit back and need to sit back. We have to take this game on its own individual merit and just go at it as if it's another one-off game that we need to get a result in. So that's the way we'll be approaching it.
Yeah, and both teams, you know, it's a pity that you have to play each other the way the competition, the format is, because among all the leagues in the country, you know, Donegal, two very strong junior leagues,
I've been saying this before. Like, I mean, it's, you know, we're if there was an open draw and we avoided each other, we'd probably be two of the last teams standing, you know, with the quality that's in both leagues. And it's just unfortunate that it's unfortunate the way the competition is done, that we're left up here and we only have the two matches, that, you know, that we weren't incorporated some other way. Like, I see they have two groups down in Leinster and, you know, and down in Munster, they're all playing plenty games, and even in Connacht. And maybe some teams will say, well, you have an easier passage, but it's not an easier passage when you're in a Inishowen playing Donegal or Donegal playing in a Inishowen. But it's just unfortunate that such a marquee competition, that one of the two leagues is only going to get two matches in a year. It's really something I think the FAI should have a look at, because it's a prestigious competition and there's a really high standard, and, you know, to put all the effort in for just two matches is not right.
And maybe an open draw may well be a path forward.
Well, hopefully, like, I mean, there's other options too. Like, I mean, we would love to join a group, you know, if there was, we would have loved ourselves, and I can't speak for any show, but we would have loved to be in a group maybe with some of the Connacht teams, so you had, you know, a different match. Like, it's, but at the same time then, you want to play in big matches, players want to play in big matches, and there'll be no two bigger matches played in the country than two matches between Donegal and Inishowen, and the quality that was in Inishowen McGinn Park that night and the crowd that was at it, and hopefully we have a crowd on Sunday too and the weather stays good, and that's the big matches people want to see, and we have that, whereas maybe there's a few dead rubbers in some of the other provinces. You'll certainly not have it up here.
It's certainly a game to look forward to, Ballyard, the venue on Sunday, and it's a 1 o'clock start, isn't it?
It's a 1 o'clock kick-off on Sunday, yeah.
And should the aggregate scores end up level, is it a case of penalties?
Do you know what? I'm not actually sure, and it's something we'll have to just look into before Sunday, just so we know just what it is. It probably hasn't been clarified, because we're the only province that's going head-to-head. Everybody else is kind of playing group matches, and it was top of the groups that was coming out. So it must just look into that, if it's goal difference and how it works, if it goes to extra time or if there's a third game of playoff. I'm not actually sure. That sounds a wee bit naive, but we've probably been putting so much work into it. We'd have a couple of friendlies. We played Finn Harps last week in a friendly. We played Derry City there. So we're kind of focusing on them friendlies and having a look at the lads again, and, you know, just making our lads familiar with each other, and, you know, just bedding in more of a kind of a style of play for ourselves. So between now and Sunday, we'll have a wee look at the whole ins and outs of the rules and all that there, just to be sure that we're not missing anything. So,
and just to clarify, the winners definitely do get into the quarterfinals, is that right?
The winners of the, whoever goes through on Sunday has a home quarter final against the third place Leinster team. Now, I'm not sure how they established the third place Leinster team, because there's two groups down in Leinster. So I'm not sure if the top two come out and then second in each group have a playoff, a one-off playoff. I'm not sure, because you can see results online, but you can't really see fixtures. So,
well, a home advantage would certainly be considerable at this stage of the competition, given the quality there.
Well, surely. Like, I mean, it probably doesn't stand for much when you're playing in a show, because, again, they're only coming down the road. But some of the teams down the country think that Donegal is just up beside Iceland, so they're not fancy coming up here at all. That'll be in their heads. And whichever one of us go through, the date is set for the next round. I think it was the 18th of February, so it'll be a fairly quick turnaround anyway. So hopefully it's us that's playing it.
Player-wise, personnel-wise, will you have pretty much a full squad to choose from?
We will. We're missing a couple of lads. There's a stag party on. It's arranged from long before the fixtures were arranged, but we're pretty strong now. We lost Ryan Lonergan. He's broken his hand playing for Letterkenny Rovers since the last game. But other than that, we're fairly happy with what's available to us. A few wee niggles here and there, but like all the teams are in the business end of the season, and you're going to have that. Like, there's going to be nobody 100% fit every game, so we're happy enough with what we have.
Well, John Francis, you've had a couple of friendlies as preparation. You played Finn Harps, and then on Tuesday night you were in action against Derry City. How did those two friendlies go?
Oh, yeah, we played Finn Harps, and they actually had a fairly strong team on. I think they had about 8 lads that started against Derry City and the Brandywell Inn that started against us. They beat us 2-1, but two of their two goals came from set pieces. And they didn't really open us up, which was encouraging. And we probably left the game behind us. We missed quite a lot of chances. But again, it was a great workout to get. And then we played Derry City on Tuesday night. It was Derry City under-20s. And again, great workout. Good team, Derry City. Probably play a lot like Inishowen do, a lot of passing. So it was a good test to get. And we won 3-0 in that game. So two good runouts. Probably better than training. Probably lads might not make that wee effort to get to training midweek if they're working or whatever, but they're all itching to get playing matches. So there were two good runouts. Hopefully they stand us in good stead.
Well, there's still a long way to go in the competition, but both the Donegal League and the Inishowen League have won it in the past, and who knows what might lie ahead. But you can certainly go into the game, given those friendlies and the first match, with a fair degree of confidence.
Oh, yeah, well, like, we'll not be overconfident. Like, most of our lads have all played in big, big matches anyway, and they're all experienced enough to know that, you can't get ahead of yourself or take anything for granted. And the older fellas in the team, like Mark Forker, Matty Cross, and Mickey Funston, they're quick to, nip anything in the bud that if lads might be getting ahead of themselves or anything, they're quick to bring it down, and sense of reality about it again. So that wee bit of experience it's good to have in the dressing room. So we'll not be ahead of ourselves. We'll be well prepared for Inishowen.
That's John Francis Dugan of the Donegal Junior League. And before that, Dermot O'Brien of the Inishowen League. Once again, the Diamond Park in Ballyar is the venue for leg two. As they go to that leg, Donegal lead 3-2. Kickoff time is at 1:00. Now, on to Gaelic Games, and our main focus of attention on Sunday will be Donegal's trip to Breffni Park in Cavan to take on the hosts in their second game in Division 2 of the National Football League. Both sides, of course, won over the opening weekend. Donegal convincing winners against Cork, and Cavan were convincing winners as well against Kildare. We will have full live match commentary from the game. I'll be joined by Martin McHugh, that knows a thing about Donegal and Cavan football, this coming Sunday. 4:00 is the start time to that tie. But this week, I went to Cavan. We spoke to one of their former county players and currently in the management of Gowna, the Cavan senior champions. That's Dermot McCabe, to get his take on Donegal and indeed how the direction that Cavan are going in 2024. Well, before we talk Cavan football, let's mention obviously Donegal. We're hitting the road. We're going to go a couple hours to Breffni on Sunday. I'm sure you've been keeping an eye on what's going on in Donegal, obviously, since Jim McGuinness has returned. What have you made of them so far this year?
Yeah, last weekend I would have seen actually a bit of their game and some of the McKenna Cup. So there seems to have been a fairly positive response from supporters and players to after a difficult year. To Jim's return, and I suppose in the main, in most, maybe partly, apart from maybe the second half in the McKenna Cup final, there's been a positive reaction on the field as well, which is easily identifiable, I suppose, with the efforts that he would look at and the amount of effort he would put into preparation, is that it's starting to show a little bit on the field already.
Yeah. And in relation to Cavan and their opening game last week, 4 points was the difference against Kildare. You could have won by more, but just like Donegal, it was all about getting an opening day one and getting the ball rolling, Dermot.
Yes, definitely agree with that. You know, there was probably a lot of similarities actually between both games. I know Donegal's margin was a lot bigger, but I suppose Ulster teams have a slightly different way of probably approaching games, counter-attacking, moving the ball at pace, and it was a little bit, I suppose, like Kildare and Cork seemed to get caught a little bit in the headlights in relation to that, and then went a few points down and then probably tried to become defensive. You know, both teams seemed to transition fast, seemed to get a lot of scores from turnovers, particularly in the opposition when Cork and Kildare were attacking. They exploited those turnovers and got a lot of scores and got a lot of success from those turnovers.
Yep. That's obviously something Jim talked about, was the running game and the transition, and even added in more kicking. There was a lot of lateral stuff, I suppose, in Ulster football over the last couple of years. Do you see that tide starting to turn now, that style of play starting to move on and I suppose develop and move away from that even, Dermot?
Not exactly yet, no. Probably not looking at all those teams. You know, if I'd be a little bit into sort of analysis and all that type of stuff. There isn't a huge amount of kicking yet, and there isn't a huge amount of kicking, in particular with the likes of Derry or the Donegals. So, but what they seem to do is transition better in that they realise that oppositions might have mass defences or might have quite a number of people back, but they're getting to the shot a little bit better. They're improving in that element from getting an attack to a shot, whereas definitely Kildare and Cork shortcomings were, they probably got similar enough. I know in actually the Cavan game, Kildare got more attacks and more attacks than Cavan, but they didn't convert on the shots. They hadn't joined up play, whereas Cavan did get them converted to shots and were quite accurate on their shot making then.
What's life been like under Raymond Galligan since he took over down there?
Yeah, there has been quite a few at the games. I suppose there's been lots of changes of personnel in relation to the backroom team, I suppose, in that I know the consistency of James Burke there is probably one of the coaches, but with Raymond coming in as new, Eamon Murray is new, we have a new person in the gym or in the S&C department, Stephen O'Neill has got involved. So, you know, it'll take a little bit of embedding, I suppose, of what their long-term plans and how exactly they want to play. I suppose they have looked at some new players. Some new players came in last week and done quite well, and hopefully they'll continue to do that and put a little bit of pressure on the more established long-term players that are still there, in fairness, and putting a huge effort. And it's great to see them still putting the shoulder to the wheel for Cavan.
Yeah. Donegal and Armagh would obviously be seen having dropped down as the two maybe favourites to go back up. But is Cavan going to be in the mix, do you feel, at the end of the campaign?
I suppose, I'm not going to say maybe the word uncertainty is wrong, but you just didn't know what way things were going to react, you know, from last Sunday. I think they'll gain a lot of positives from last Sunday and getting the result. I suppose both management and maybe players, supporters were a little bit nervous going down. But they've definitely worked hard. They pushed forward. Probably the setup of Kildare suited Cavan, suited the way that they wanted to play. And it just mightn't be as comfortable, it mightn't be as easy this Sunday. I don't think Donegal will set up in a similar fashion. But it's nice to get the 2 points off. It takes a little bit of pressure on. And I think the Cavan now are looking forward to Donegal coming to town.
Are Cavan capable then? I suppose it's the first home game. They want to put on a show in front of the home support. And the fact that both teams won their opening game, is this a match that's possibly too hard to call? It can go either way come the weekend.
Well, we would like to think so. I would say probably Donegal will come down as strong favourites, but I suppose it definitely whoever is the victor in this game, you know, it sets them up to be looking ahead of themselves and looking forward, perhaps to, you know, top of the table or the top half of the table. Whereas, you know, if you stay and remain on 2 points, you're still looking down and sideways. So you'd be hoping, like, you know, Cavan, while they have a new management structure in place, they still have a lot of experienced players that have played in a number of Ulster finals, both at senior and underage level. So they were very good last week and used their experience very well, and hopefully they continue to do that. And the blend of youth, Oisin Brady has come into our forward line and a very good McKenna Cup campaign, has done well. Oisin Kiernan has come into the full-back line and is doing well there. Hopefully he'll continue to do that. So you're hoping that little blend of youth might help push on those older guys as well.
Okay, then. Just finally, Donegal scored 120 last week, Dermot. Obviously, this is going to be two Ulster sides going at it. Maybe the style of play might be slightly different from what we've seen last week when we played the teams from outside of Ulster. It's not going to be a high-scoring encounter, do you expect?
Yeah, well, I would imagine, like, if I look at both teams and look at both held on to the ball quite well, whereas, like, Cork, I just jotted a figure there or seen it on some, you know, had 27 turnovers. So Donegal won 27 turnovers and were able to get 11 or 12 scores. So, like, if you're throwing up that many turnovers, it's going to be very difficult to win the game. So I suppose this is where Kavanagh knew and knew in their maybe transition style. So they can't be afford to give away that ball that much because teams like Donegal and Terry will just tear you apart in that. So you'd hope, while you don't want all this lateral or going back ways, you'll hope that the work is done, that we wouldn't be giving the ball away and we'd still be attacking and getting our shots off.
Okay, listen, Dermot, we look forward to the match at the weekend. Many thanks for taking time out to speak to Highland Radio Sport this weekend. And I would say we wish Kevin all the best of luck in the fixture at the weekend, but listen, we have to wish our own the best of luck, but we'll see you at Breffni at the weekend.
Yeah, well, what we'll say is safe journey, and I hope your trip is fine. Everything after that, I'm not going to go into any detail on.
All right. Good man, Dermot. See you Sunday. Thanks.
Okay. All right, Oisin. All the best.
All right, Dermot. Good luck. See you. Bye-bye. As former Cavan player, Dermot McCabe, speaking to me this week as we previewed Cavan against Donegal in Division 2 of the Alliance National Football League. And once again, there'll be full live match commentary from that game. I'll be joined by Martin McHugh in the commentary position. Sunday, 4 o'clock is the throw-in time to that tie. And I suppose the other matches, which involves Northwest sides this coming weekend, Celtic Park in Derry on Sunday afternoon in Division 1. Derry, under the management of Tyrone man Mickey Hart, a man that led Tyrone to 3 All-Ireland titles, well, he now welcomes his native and former county to Celtic Park. And there's going to be a lot of interest in this game. You can just imagine the spectators, the volume of spectators. I'm sure it's going to be near a sellout on Sunday for that huge Northwest derby as Tyrone meet Mickey Hart's Derry in a competitive game for the very first time. That one starts at 3:45 on Sunday afternoon. And earlier at 1:30, also at Celtic Park, the two counties are going to be meeting as well on Sunday in Division 2B of the Hurling National League. It is, of course, the opening weekend, and there's also a Northwest derby to start things off there. From a Donegal point of view, they are heading to Aucrim, to Edgeland Park, to take on Wicklow, a side that they know well, a county, of course, that they recently lost out to in their Nicky Rackard final. But Donegal are heading down to Wicklow, hoping for a good result to start their campaign in Division 2B. Their next match is at home against Derry next Saturday. And you can hear from the Donegal hurling manager, Mickey McCann, on the DL Debate programme, which is on our website as a podcast. It was aired on Monday night, and Brendan was in conversation with Mickey, and it's available now to listen back to in the playback section of highlandradio.com. And of course, Brendan will have another DL debate this coming bank holiday Monday to recap what is another busy weekend for the Northwest clubs on both the football and hurling front. And likewise, the ladies are back in action on Sunday as well. They won their opening game against Laois, but were on the wrong end of the result against Kildare. It's back-to-back home games for John McNulty's side this coming Sunday as they welcome Westmeath to the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. And it's a 2 o'clock start to that game on Sunday afternoon. And we will have updates here on Highland with Maureen O'Donnell as from the throw-in time there. Okay, we're going for a commercial break. We'll have more on the way in the score after these.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, where the big winter sale is now on. Get 30% of all the official Donegal GAA Peak range. Also, great savings on runners and leisure wear, in store and online.
And welcome back to the score here in Highland. Still to come, we'll speak to our rugby correspondent, Alec McDonald, ahead of the Six Nations. But up next, we're talking rallying and the Galway International Rally. The opening round of the Irish Tarmac Championship starts this weekend, Saturday morning early, with 2 days of action, Saturday and Sunday. And to look ahead to the event now, we're joined by Killian Duffy of On The Pace Notes. You're welcome to Highland Radio once again. How are you doing, Killian?
I'm great, Oisin. Thanks very much for having me on. It's great to be talking to you again.
Listen, a lot of the crews have, of course, been planning towards this since the end of last season. What can they expect in 2024 out of Galway?
Yeah, traditionally Galway always kicks off the year. It's always a good event, a tricky event. Now, the stages this year, you know, everyone associates Galway with shiny tar, slippy stages, like obviously lots of dry stone walls. Now, there is plenty of dry stone walls. there is slippy sections, but generally the stages that Gary Leonard picked this year are quite clean, I would say, if, you know, by Galway standards. No matter where the stages are this time of year, it's, you know, it's January, February, they're not going to be very, very clean because of just the weather conditions and the storms we've been having with debris and so on. But the three stages, the picked around the Headford area on Saturday, are nice, fast, sort of flowing stages, nothing dangerous in them. And then the two stages around Monavay were used, well, bits and pieces were used in the Galway Summer 2022 in the opposite direction. And again, two nice stages. One of the Sunday stages, I think, is the first one out. It's absolutely flat out. So that's just, it's going to be interesting to see, but it, there's plenty driving in the event. And obviously I think it's forecast for a damp weekend, not very wet, but just, I would say it'll be drizzling all weekend. So it's all going to be about tire choice, I would say, and who can break the latest on the shiny tire.
The big story ahead of the year, was of course Matt Edwards committing to the Tarmac Championship, which is huge for the championship. We've seen what he can do in Donegal. We all know his pedigree, that he's a professional driver, former British champion. We've seen him over the last couple of years in Donegal, what he can do. What does it mean to have somebody like him being part of this championship now going forward?
Well, I would say it stands great for Irish rallying and the Irish Tarmac Championship. I mean, at the end of the day, it probably would have been, you'd imagine, easier for him to do the BRC. I mean, he lives in Wales, so would have been easier for him to do that. But he's chose to come here. He's chose to come here because, to be honest, you know, the BRC is a great championship. There's maybe two or three racing for it, but there's far more racing for it here. You know, the entry, the quantity and quality here is second to none anywhere in the world. Even you look at the World Championship, to be honest, there's only two or three realistically with a chance of winning now. Whereas we're heading into Galway, and there's definitely five people that could, maybe even six, to be honest, that can win the event. And like for Matt to come over here and come over and try to challenge the Irish guys, I think it adds a different spice to it. And of course, Keith Cronin, again, he's not going for the drive for five in the BRC either. He's coming here to race because I'd say people, to be honest, looked at the championship the last number of years and just maybe thought, like, what are we missing here? Like, this just looks brilliant. The events are compact. Like Galway, if you were doing a two-run recce, you'd have it recce'd in one day. And the compact rallies, the good value for money, great events. I mean, West Cork is 3 days. That's after Galway. You know, you have the circuit, you have Killarney, you have Donegal, you have the Ulster, you have Cork 20. So, I mean, you have a brilliant championship. You have a great geographical spread of events. I mean, there's no one territory that's going to suit the other person and vice versa. There's places that will suit people and not suit others. So, I mean, look at the variety of machinery as well. Like it's absolutely fantastic. And it's a credit to everyone involved in Irish rallying that it's grown to the standards it's grown to.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt the man that has a mark on his back this year is Callum Devine, the defending champion. He's the guy that everybody's going to be chasing down.
Absolutely. I mean, he's also in a car that he's proven that he's confident in, and particularly go heading to a slippy Galway, you know, with the damp weekend. I mean, he knows exactly what that Polo is going to do. He's had it freshened up over the winter. His tail's up. I mean, he's a reigning champion. I think, to be honest, he'll be the man to beat in Galway. I think he won't mind about targets on his back or anything, because at the end of the day, like, he's won it already. Anything other than a win is going to be a disappointment. So he doesn't have that pressure of trying to win his first Tarmac title or trying to win his first Tarmac event. Like, that's all gone now. It's all about he wants to win. And you only have to look back at probably the slippiest and dirtiest event last year was the Ulster Rally. And you have Adrian Formeau after coming from sixth or seventh overall in Monte Carlo. And Callum was thinking about the Tarmac Championship last year and was still within a handful of seconds of him on all stages, and possibly could have brought the race to him only for Callum had the Tarmac Championship points to think about. So Callum's at a very, very high level. Not to say the rest aren't, but the other guys are going to have their A game with them to keep with Callum this weekend, I would say.
Yeah, one of the Moffats are going to be in a Citroen.
Yes, Josh Moffat is out in a new Citroen. Again, he's so used to his Hyundai. I mean, even when he went to the newer version Rally 2 Hyundai late last year, he went back to the old one again. So the Citroen looks to be very strong. I mean, the Citroen is after, you know, fresh from a WRC2 win in Monte Carlo. It's arguably one of the best Rally 2 cars to have. The Polo, yes, it hasn't been developed in a long time, but Volkswagen put a lot of development into that from the start. And to be honest, there's not a huge difference between any of the Rally 2 cars. I mean, it's going to be down to the driver and tyre choice at the end of the day. But yeah, it'll be different for Josh. I mean, no matter how much testing he's done in the Citroen, it's still a new car. It's still a new dashboard. It's still a new steering wheel. You know, there's still going to be settings that he's not going to be completely happy with after the first couple of loops in Galway. So I would say if I was a betting man, I'd put Josh in about third or fourth on Saturday night and maybe slip up to one position then on Sunday.
Okay, well, the rest of the top 10, Keith Cronin's in a Fiesta, Sam Moffat a Hyundai, Jonathan Greer a Citroen, as we mentioned, Matt Edwards coming in a Fiesta, Desi Henry's in another Citroen, Ryan Loughran is Donegal's, Gareth Doherty on board in a Fiesta, Rory Kennedy sitting with Gary Jennings in the top 10's wrapped up with Declan Boyle in another Citroen. That's the top 10. But then you have the modified section, the two-wheel drive category, which can just be as exciting and captivating as what's going on up the front. Mark Alcorn's back to defend the Crown he won last year. Kevin Eaves is in there with a shout. Also, seated well high up in 17th is Conor Murray. But it seems to me there's Donegal men to the fore here, and that could be the battle come the close of Sunday, so it could kill him.
Yeah, as you say, Mark Alcorn won last year. He's very experienced, Dol McElhaney in with him. I think Damien Torres could be a late entry there as well, so we can't rule him out. But Kevin Eaves is generally always the man to beat. I mean, if you can beat Kevin Eaves in the two-wheel drive of the modified, then you're going well, because generally Kevin is Mr. Consistent, makes very, very little mistakes. So Mark is going to have his hands full. It's going to be a brilliant battle. Of course, Conor Murphy as well is getting very, very consistent, putting in brilliant times. You have Frank Kelly, Rodney Wilton. You know, this, you never know. It's Galway, it's slippy. So it's going to be hard to predict. Again, if I was a betting man, I'd probably be leaning towards Eaves, but I think that Mark Alcorn, if he steadies the head, he won't be far away either.
Okay then. Well, listen, you'll have a busy weekend. Of course, on the pace notes, we'll be out and about at the end of all the stages this coming weekend, Killian, and we look forward to your coverage of the event. Thanks for joining us. Have a safe weekend.
Thanks very much. I'm looking forward to it. People can tune in and watch it on the Pace Note Facebook page. We're going live from the end of all the stages, bringing you the news, the interviews, and also we'll also have all the non-live action from Clip of the Rally as well that people can view. So we're going to catch all the action from, I think, our first interviews at 7:30 on Saturday morning, and we go live generally 15, 20 minutes. So it's all broken up, the coverage, and so people will be able to follow the rally really, really easily. Thanks, Oisin.
Yeah, so that's Killian Duffy looking forward to the Galway Rally this coming weekend. As we move now to rugby and to look ahead to Ireland against France and Marseille tomorrow night, we're joined by rugby correspondent Alec McDonald. Alec, a very good evening. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Oisin.
I know, Alec, speaking to you beforehand, and you're not happy with the selection. It's disappointing from your point of view, given that there's no Ulster men in the 23 for Ireland tomorrow night.
Yeah, disappointing, Oisin. But, I mean, to be honest, I'm a realist in the fact that, you know, McCluskey and Henderson, I thought Henderson especially, would certainly have been on the bench. And the fact that, you know, with Henshaw being injured, I thought McCluskey's experience would have been very useful at number as a backup number, third centre. But then when you look at the logic, in the sense that Farrell, for once, has gone from a 5-3 split to a 6-2 split. In other words, there's only two backs on the bench. His reasoning was that he feels that possibly it will be a very, very physical game. And therefore, you know, if there's a couple of injuries in the forwards, that could make a difference. It is it's not like Farrell to do that, but he hasn't made too many bad calls up to this. But as I said, you know, it's disappointing. But nevertheless, you know, Ulster's last couple of performances, especially against Harlequins, you know, Farrell watching that would not have been enamoured. Like, the likes of Stockdale had an opportunity to push his case very strongly, but he blew it against Harlequins.
Okay, then. Well, we have to move on without Ulster players. What about the night for the new guys, including our starting out half, Jack Crawley? It's going to be a big night for the new faces in Ireland.
Yeah, there's a lot of responsibility in young Crawley. I mean, he's had a bit of experience. I mean, he played against Australia last year, kicking the winning points, and that will give him confidence. But, I mean, it was interesting to read there a quote from Roland O'Gara, who knows French rugby pretty well. And he said, if Ireland come away from Marseille on Friday night with a result, it'll be the biggest ever In other words, he even said it would overshadow some of the results that they had against the All Blacks. So I think the cauldron that these players, experienced and inexperienced, are going to get in Marseille is going to be something else. And that's, a lot of that is to do with it. It's interesting to note, all the same, everybody seems to be saying, you know, Johnny Sexton has retired. Sadly, that's the case. But if you look at the French team, Antoine Dupont, probably the best number nine in the world, he is not playing because he's decided to throw his lot in with the French team at the Olympics in the sevens. And also, his outside partner of many times, Ntamack, he's also injured. So they are going in with a new halfback combination, which is not that experienced through the Bordeaux pairing of Lusu and Jellyberg, who are both very, very good players. They did really well in the Champions League game against Leicester when they absolutely annihilated them. So again, you know, you have both sets of halfbacks who are inexperienced. This is where I think Jamieson Gibson-Park has to step up and look after his number 10.
Okay. And Alec, there has been lots of talk about who's going to win the Six Nations over the course of the last week and how pivotal this game is going to be, whoever will win the Grand Slam, if they're going to do that at the end of the year. Do you think this game so early on is going to be so telling as to where the championship's going to end up?
Well, it's one of those games, Oisin. If you look at it, I mean, France have got a home game here against Ireland. Ireland have got Wales, Italy and Scotland at home, so, and away to England. So, I mean, they haven't been too many successes over the last number of years at Twickenham. They certainly, the home games. No, I think it's very much maybe been blown out of all context in that sense. One game never wins a competition. I think a lot of people, one of the teams that I hope shows what they're made of and actually their talent comes through is Scotland, because Scotland have got a set of backs who are probably as good as any on the Six Nations, and if their forwards can front up, they will be wanting to do it. They've been threatening over the last couple of years, and with Finn Russell now at the helm and orchestrating, if he gets enough ball, I think, you know, it'll suit the other teams. It'll suit certainly Scotland to think that, well, if the winners of this team, we'll still have to play them. I think Wales are in an experimental stage. I don't know whether Borsuk knows what team he's going to put out on the pitch. But Italy, as has said a few times, Italy could well be a much stronger side, because Benetton, one of their two sides in the URC, are lying second in the table. And certainly they will, at home, pose a threat. Ireland, of course, will meet them the following week at the Aviva. But I don't think, Oisin, that the winner of this game necessarily would go on to be the Grand Slam and champions, because, as we all know, a lot can happen in the space of five games.
Yeah. As for tomorrow night, Keith Wood has suggested that France are going to edge it. It's going to be close. How do you see it going?
I think it certainly is going to be close. I mean, it's a bit like, you know, trying to forecast some of the games in the World Cup. I think a missed penalty at some stage. I think an overthrow at a 5-metre line-out when you're going for a maul to get tries. All these things have to be completely 100%. And let's hope that the Ireland line-out has improved, because unfortunately, even in the Six Nations last year and in the World Cup, that was one of the things that let us down. When we got into a very attacking position, we lost possession. Again, a penalty in the last minute or two. I wouldn't like to call it, Oisin. I'm not usually a fence sitter, but you'd have to say that Ireland will have to produce a very, very good, comprehensive no errors, no penalties given away to come away with a win.
Okay, we wait to see how it develops. Alec MacDonald, our rugby correspondent, many thanks for joining us and enjoy the rugby at the weekend. Alec, of course, will be out and about as well at the weekend in the Ulster Championship 1. There's a big clash for City of Derry, who are third in the table. They are taking on second place Ballyclare. We'll have coverage from that game on Saturday. Omer are in Ulster Senior Shield action against Clogher Valley. Letterkenny in Championship 2 are away to Coleraine. Strabane on the road at Hollywood in Championship 3. And in the Forrester Cup, Inishowen are taking on Limavady. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Hope you enjoyed the programme. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Chris Ashmore's back with our next sport tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. So what's left of your Thursday? Enjoy. Have a very good evening.